Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Isaiah chapter 32 again. Today we're picking up in verse 9 through the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 9 through 20. If you'll follow along in your Bibles, please. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In little more than a year you will shudder, you complacent women. For the grape harvest fails, the fruit harvest will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Shudder, you complacent ones. Strip and make yourselves bare, and tie sackcloth around your waist. Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the soil of my people growing up in thorns and briars. Yes, for all the joyous houses in the exultant city. For the palace is forsaken, the populous city deserted. The hill and the watchtower will become dens forever. A joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And it will hail when the forest falls down, and the city will be utterly laid low. Happy are you who sow beside all waters, who let the feet of the ox and the donkey range free. Complacent. The dictionary describes it as showing smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. Now, the words complacent or complacency only show up a handful of times in our English Bibles, 3 times here in this chapter, and once in Proverbs. However, the root Hebrew verb here underlying complacent and complacency actually means to trust. And it's often used in a positive manner, such as to trust in the Lord. Now, where trust goes wrong, as we'll see today, is in regards to its object. In what or in whom am I trusting? Now here in chapter 32, Isaiah comes back to something he talked about way back in chapter 3, the daughters of Zion. And there in chapter 3, in verses 16 and 17, Isaiah speaks and writes these words, "The Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with outstretched necks, glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing as they go, tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will lay bare their secret parts." And here in chapter 32 we see the same theme. Here the women of Zion, the women of Jerusalem, are complacent. They are self-satisfied. But unknowns to them, a judgment is coming. It is a judgment of famine and bondage. When they are stripped so that their secret parts show, it is because they have been taken prisoners. They have been enslaved. The city will become barren, and thorns will grow where once grew luscious vines. That's what awaits them. Now it appears that Isaiah is speaking in this chapter of 2 different judgments. First, there is the judgment that will occur in little more than a year. A judgment of famine that results from the grape harvest failing and the fruit harvest not coming. The second judgment that comes later is the judgment of the Babylonian captivity, where men and women both will be stripped of their clothes, where they're seeking out a piece of sackcloth to cover themselves and forced to march naked to a foreign land. A time also when the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. And in both instances, it is their complacency that is to be destroyed. As a result of these judgments, they tremble, they beat their breasts, they lament their losses. No longer will they be smug. No longer will they be satisfied with the work of their hands. I want us to see today that complacency is a terrible thing. It teaches us to trust in ourselves and not in the Lord God. This complacency causes us to make bad decisions. Decisions that impact both now and eternity. This complacency blinds us to the dangers that lurk within ourselves and also for the dangers that lie outside. And it leaves us totally unprepared for any challenges that come our way. In complacency, we are building up our own kingdoms. We are satisfied with the way that we are running our lives. Now, it is this type of complacency that might lead us to tear down our overfilling barns in order to build bigger and greater repositories for our wealth. And yet, God's warning to the man that did that in Luke chapter 12 is the same for us today. You fool, this night your soul is required of you. Complacency, though, is not limited to the world of finances and wealth. We can become spiritually complacent. We can become happy with our religious status quo. Now, last week in Birmingham, Alabama, the SBC met for its annual meeting. And at that meeting, Andrew Brunson spoke these words, and I think that we need to listen to them. Andrew Brunson said before all those gathered, "I don't think that we're prepared for what is coming, especially the next generation. I fear that many of us are complacent and we're unaware. And this means that the people in our churches are going to be blindsided by what comes. You are the ones, as pastors and leaders of churches, who have the task of preparing the next generation." And it's especially important that these words came from Andrew Brunson, a man, a missionary, who had been imprisoned for his faith in Turkey for 2 years prior to his release last October. I think he knows a little bit about what comes and what we might face. And he is absolutely correct. In many ways, our churches are still living in the 1950s. The world of Ozzy and Harriet instead of the world of Ozzy and Sharon. We're living in the wrong decade. We're living back there where things are just so easy. Or so we think. We live in our own little cocoons, thinking that we can keep the world out. But instead of living in the kingdom we ought to be living in, the kingdom of the King of Kings, we have resorted to living in kingdoms of our own making. That's why it's so vitally important for us daily to remember the words of the Lord Jesus in the model prayer that He gave to us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, complacency is deadly for our souls. We get so content living in our own little kingdoms that when the kingdoms of this world topple them, we have nothing upon which to rely. Our vines fail. Our fruit harvest ceases. Our buildings are toppled. And we are led away captive, naked and bruised, at the conquest of these earthly kingdoms that we have been ignoring. And as a result, we end up living in a wasteland surrounded by destruction. Now hear me well today. If you are depending upon the work of your own hands, if you are smugly satisfied with your own position and standing, you will fall, and your fall will be a hard one. Earlier in this book. Judah was condemned for trusting in chariots and horses from Egypt. Here in this chapter, they are condemned for trusting in themselves. And so are we condemned if we are trusting our own devices, our own political prowess, our own wisdom. I want you to recognize something today. It's vitally important. We are to be dissatisfied. We are to yearn for something different. This world will never satisfy. It will always disappoint. We should be continually striving for more than we presently have. Not for material goods and wealth, but for more of the presence of God in our lives. All of these worldly goods should be considered as nothing more than rubbish compared to the joy of knowing Christ Jesus. He alone satisfies, and until we learn this lesson, we will continually seek out our good in all the wrong places. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," those shouldn't just be vain words. We should really, really mean it. Now, what displaces the wilderness of judgment in Isaiah 32? Look down in that chapter and you'll see that it's the Spirit of the Lord being poured on them from on high. Then and only then does the wilderness blossom. Only then do they experience the peace which is the effect of righteousness. Only then do they have quietness and trust forever. The security that He and He alone brings. Now, I think all of us are seeking security. All of us are looking for a safe space. We think we can do that by hiding in the past. We think we can do that by hiding in institutions and structures that maybe worked for us in the past. But I want you to know we're in a changing world. We're in a world that is going to constantly challenge our security. And if we're trusting those institutions, if we're trusting in those programs, if we're trusting in those ways that possibly worked for us in the past, we are going to be, as Andrew Brunson said, woefully unprepared when those changes come. We're going to find ourselves in a wilderness. And we're going to lament and we're going to beat our breasts. But it doesn't have to be that way. Even in the midst of the wilderness, when the Spirit of God is poured out upon us, we can be victorious over this world and all of its institutions. Because instead of trying to build our own little kingdom, we're going to strive to be citizens and subjects of the only kingdom that matters, the kingdom of God. We're not going to expend so much energy trying to maintain the status quo. Instead, we're going to march forward as victors under the conquering King. Because He is going to judge all of this world's institutions. He is going to bring about an end to everything that raises disobedience against Him. Now, I hope you realize today that I've not only been speaking about complacent women in Isaiah's day. For this passage, I think it was just a literary device. I'm not sure why he left the men out. But he talked about the complacent women here. And yet the destruction came upon both men and women. I want you instead to realize what I'm talking about today is not those people, but about us. The complacent men and women sitting here before me. And how do I know that you're complacent? Because I see it myself as well. Each of us has a comfort zone. Each of us has a place outside of which we dare not enter. We become satisfied and we become smug in our satisfaction. We trust in the wrong things far too often. And when disaster strikes, as it struck that people, we are woefully unprepared. We are no different than the people of Isaiah's day. But it doesn't have to be that way. We need to start praying, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven," with fervency. Not just saying the words, Blame the words instruct our hearts in making us different. We need to look to Him for everything and not to ourselves. We want peace and comfort, but we often substitute the peace and comfort of our own devising instead of the peace that truly withstands the storms of life, the peace that He gives. I want you to recognize today that there is judgment coming. It might be in a year or less, or it might be even sooner. It might be a judgment of famine, or a judgment of destruction, such as fire, flood, or storm. It might be the judgment of a car wreck. It might be the judgment of a bad medical diagnosis. It might be the judgment of a friend forsaking you. It could be that we face a judgment in a year or less. Or it might be that final judgment of the pouring out of God's wrath upon the entire world. Yet, whether that judgment is large or small, the same remedy is prescribed for all. We need to trust in the Lord, not in ourselves. We need to throw ourselves into His loving arms and await His kingdom on His terms. We need to trust. And for the Christian, we trust now today in the same way that we trusted at the beginning of our spiritual pilgrimage. Nothing has changed. We trust in the sacrifice of Christ for our sins on His cross. And we believe in His resurrection from the dead. The gospel never grows old for us. In fact, we need to recite it to ourselves daily. It is in Christ alone that we are saved. It is in Christ alone that we are secure. It is in Christ alone that we will find peace for our souls. If we're looking anywhere else, we're fooling ourselves. You fool. Now, if you're not trusting in Christ, then you have no peace. You have no security. You have no hope. But if you are trusting in Him, if you are allowing Him to rule over you, then there is peace. There is security. There is hope, no matter what storms come. Our complacency, our smug hope in ourselves is deadly. But with Christ, led by His Spirit, there is life and life abundant. And we need to ask ourselves today, in which are we trusting? We trusting in Christ, we trusting in something else? I want you to see these words were important not just for those people in the 8th century B.C. They're important for us today. They might have hit a little close to home today. I know as I was preparing this, I came under conviction. Recognize it's so easy just to fall into a rut. Just to fall into what's comfortable. Rather than allow God to take us out of that comfort zone and put us in a place where we might be uncomfortable, but we're secure. We might have fear, but there's peace. We might have doubts, but He rules. And what are we trusting today?